The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were greater sinners than all the other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" The gardener said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. On this third Sunday of Lent, there are a couple of beautiful references to the mercy of God in the texts of the prayers that we've already heard. Of course, the psalm, "The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to judgment and rich in mercy." The opening prayer today was beautiful. "O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bound down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy." It's a beautiful text. The word that jumped out at me in that prayer was the word conscience. It's a word you don't hear too much anymore. And yet conscience is one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us. It's the one thing that allows us to realize that we have to change, and it gives us the fortitude to do it. There's often a misunderstanding, and sometimes you see this in people who are coming to confession, that they might find themselves fixated on the guilt of sin. And we should have a good sense of guilt. You hear people say this all the time, you know, Catholic guilt. But Catholic guilt's actually a good thing, because if you didn't have Catholic guilt, then you wouldn't think twice and you'd just do the same things over and over and over. It's not particularly Catholic, by the way, but we're the ones who still talk about it. But there's a difference between guilt and shame. And when people allow themselves to cross over that line, I mean, it's a healthy thing to come before God and say, "I have sinned against you, Father, and I have sinned against the church. I have done something wrong." That's a healthy thing to say. But when you make that shift where you might say, "Well, therefore, I'm a bad person," well, that's where you fall into error. God didn't make any of us bad. We do bad things sometimes, but that's the hope for humanity, is that humanity is still good as God made his creation, and that we have this opportunity to change our hearts because of that goodness. And it's the mercy of God that inspires us to be able to do this. St. Paul, I think, is a little pessimistic, comes across a little pessimistic in the second reading today, because he talks about all those people who went through that difficulty in the desert, right? They grumbled against God. They were unfaithful to God. God continued to purify them. It seems like he punished them. I mean, if you were to try to walk from Egypt to the mountain where they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, it probably would only take you, I mean, even at a slow pace, it might take you a couple months. But God led them around through the desert for 40 years. 40 years it took them to get to the to the promised land. Why? Because God needed to teach them how to be completely dependent upon him and upon his mercy. And when they get hungry, he gives them food. And when they get thirsty, he gives them water miraculously out of a rock. He leads them and he teaches them how to be his people. It's a purification that seems to take place. But there was throughout this period of time this need that God had, apparently, or that the people had inside of God, to be repentant for the wrongs that they did. Repentant. That's a word that Jesus uses in the gospel today. I guess there were these people of the day, like we have today, you know, any kind of disaster or disease, there are these people who have these theories that say, oh yeah, that's a sinful city, so that's why they got flooded. You know, that's crazy. That's not the way God is. God isn't up there trying to figure out who am I going to punish next. But he does say that if you don't repent of your sins, because we're all sinners, that's something that you might experience, something like that, a disaster or a difficulty. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. So we must be people who repent. God's mercy is the thing that tempers us into becoming people that he made us to become. And he leads us and he feeds us. We don't die in the desert of thirst or starvation. And he brings us to that promised land in our own lives in that sense. But we have to be people who are mindful of his mercy and people who respond to him. That's why this image in the first reading today is, I think, the most beautiful image of all. Because what does Moses behold in the desert? Something that's amazing. Because the fire that he experiences is not a destructive fire. Like when you see fire, you hear about fire in the deserts in the western United States burning thousands of acres. Fire is something that is out of control, isn't it? Fire is something that we, none of us, want to have anything to do with it. Your house burns down and you have to get out of your house because there's nothing you can do about fire. So here's this fire Moses sees in the desert where it's very dry and where there's lots of dry things, right? So Moses, if he sees a fire in the desert, what do you think your first reaction would be? Run the other way, right? But he doesn't. He goes over and he sees what's going on because the fire of God's mercy is every bit a real fire, but it is not burning the bush. It doesn't consume the bush. It is completely compatible with the creation that he has made so as to call us, to lead us to him, to allow us to know that we have to take heed, maybe not be preoccupied in all the details at this particular point, but just be people who are humble enough to repent of the things that we have done. I think that's the message for this third Sunday in Lent. I think there are burning bushes surrounding us all the time. We just need to figure out what's going on with that. God, he allows us as sinners to continue on this path without being burned so that we might come to that place where he calls us to his light and his peace.